Gator Dave with us every Tuesday from down in Jacksonville. We'll let you know how you can get his very popular podcast, which is called Gators Breakdown. Dave, when did the topic come up? I saw you post this just the other day about the notion that Florida does less with more.
That's from Mike Farrell from Rivals. He had a top 10. Georgia was number one of doing less with more. But he had Florida at number three. And I didn't get that, Bill. There wasn't a lot of context with the tweet and the list of who does less with more. But given the last 3 years and I think where Florida has recruited and what they have on the roster, they've done about as expected. Probably over exceeded expectations in 2018-2019. And then last year met them in some ways and in probably some ways not. You know, you did beat Georgia, you won the SEC, you still had four losses. So that 2020 could be somewhat of a wash. But to sit there and have Florida at number three, and then I think Tennessee, Florida State, Miami were below Florida. I was like, if you want to have Florida on the list, okay, maybe. But to have Florida as, you know, up there above FSU, who's had some losing records, Tennessee, who's had some losing records, Miami's had some losing records in the last, you know, half decade or so, I just didn't get labeling Florida a team that does less with more.
Not the last of... When's the last time Florida had a blockbuster recruiting ranking, like a top three type ranking?
Oh yeah, you probably are going to Will Muschamp, either his last class or next to last class. That's as far back as you're going with that one.
The last one I remember clearly would be Urban Meyer's 2010 class, which turned out to be a big pack of spoiled brats and divided the locker room.
Yeah, that was a top-ranked class. A lot of people considered the best class in recruiting ever at that time, dating back to that time. And I think I said Will Muschamp had some top-five classes, but you're right. As far as top, the top-ranked class, you had Sharif Floyd, Dominic Easley, Ronald Powell in that class. Two of those guys played pretty well for Florida. Floyd and Easley really couldn't stay healthy. Powell had some health issues as well, but never lived up to that. I think he was the top-rated player in the country. Ronald Powell was there, and coming from California to Florida, never lived up to that billing. You're right, Bill. Those guys come in and expected to run the locker room and pretty much put a damper there on Urban Meyer's last year at Florida.
Another item there, and you just pointed out a bunch of them. That was considered, again, almost a little over 10 years ago, one of the best D-line classes in modern history too, which you mentioned a couple of them. Powell was probably one of the bigger number one ranked mistakes that the recruiting services made. Now, he did have a knee, and that's understandable, but I just never saw the ranking being deserved there. I mean, if you're going to put somebody number one, Dave, they better eat glass and nails for breakfast and sack the quarterback five times in the first game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that because in every camp and everything that we saw leading up to that signing class, whenever I thought Dominic Easy was the most dominant defender that I'd seen at that cycle, and I was glad before I got him. I was more impressed with what I saw from him and his career as well at Florida, and that was the problem with that class. You know, Floyd and Easley, they, to me, lived up to their ranking, but they were hurt as well. They were hardly ever on the field at the same time. They were anchors for that really, really good 2012 defense that Florida had in Will Muschamp's second year there. But, I'm a big believer in recruiting rankings, Bill, but, sometimes I've always said, it doesn't promise that you'll win, but you're not winning without it. But there are a lot of times where, especially right at the top, those guys just don't pan out sometimes.
Now, just since we're on this topic, and I wasn't even thinking about it prior to you coming on here, when that group got into the locker room, those spoiled freshmen in 2010, wasn't it the Pouncies, one of the Pouncies that called them out first publicly?
Let's see. It would have been...
Maybe
they
I'm thinking.
They won in 08. I think one stayed behind in 09. Or no, I guess both of them. No, both of them would have been in 09. Yeah, one stayed behind in 10 as well. So, yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah. And I think that was the story of, I forget if it was Marquise or which one it was. But, yeah, you're right. I believe it was one of the bounces. And that's the interesting dynamic when you recruit a lot of people will label divas just because they're highly ranked kids, and when you bring in class after class after class like that, and look, I don't even know how, if you go back and look at it, how much Urban Meyer really cared that was happening. We kind of know it was one foot out the door. He was going to retire. He came back anyway. So we're going to retire, come back anyway, still put the number one class together, but it didn't really pan out. But it does beg to, if you go back and look at it, if he was, I don't necessarily want to say fully involved, I mean, maybe the wrong way to label it, but if the health scare didn't happen, if he didn't retire, unretire, and come back, maybe how different the locker room dynamic would have been if he would have put his foot down and maybe stepped in a little bit more instead of leaving it up to the players.
To bring this whole conversation, which I never even intended to get to full circle, though, there is a point here. Think about it. Florida had won the national championship in 06 and 08. The 09 team was good enough to win it all, too. So there was some reasons to have a lot of confidence in the Gators program in the moment. And those recruits were probably told, come join what we're doing. You see what we're doing. We're winning multiple natties. We're the talk of the town. Come join this. You will fit right in. So there's probably, they were probably coddled some, which happens in the recruiting process. But here's the point. It makes what Nick Saban does year after year, literally, even more impressive, because I'm sure behind the scenes, Dave, he has to suppress some of the arrogance and the entitled five stars as well. But you don't hear about it much there, do you? And apparently he's able to take that locker room full of these kind of guys and chill them.
No, I'm glad you said that. I wasn't even thinking about that in some angle the other way, the other day as well. When he left LSU, went to the NFL, and then came to Bama, like, we knew he'd be good, but there was no inclination that this was going to happen. And going to your point, over a decade of dominance, over a decade of being able to sell the program as the program to be, become an NFL factory. I mean, he did some great things at Michigan State to get the job at LSU. And then when LSU comes in, he does win a national championship with them, but there was never the inclination that he was building a dynasty at LSU before he left to go to Miami. And then when he came to Alabama, it was, this is the best hire they could have made. Absolutely it was. But it wasn't he's going to be the next Bear Bryant. It wasn't that. And from what he's been able to do and build that, I think the resources of Alabama and how serious they take the sport of football is the perfect pairing for a coach that, eats it every day. And what he's been able to do is nothing short of fascinating. Because we haven't seen it in the modern age of college football. As you mentioned, Florida was close over a decade ago, but was only able to sustain it for about 5 years or so, and then Saban and his dynasty takes over. He's able to shed the age. He signed a new contract last week, in a contract extension last week. He's able to shed the whole age moniker that he may not be there forever, or he may not be there for your whole career as you come as a recruit. So to be able to in today's college football be able to sustain what he's able to do it's fascinating to watch. I know a lot of people are tired of it because it's the same team for over a decade now. But you got to beat the best to be the best.
Tell everybody how they can get Gators Breakdown.
Get Gators Breakdown at news4jax.com or / Gators Breakdown or your favorite podcast platform. YouTube version out there as well, Bill. And we'll be diving into the preseason magazines on tonight's episode. So a lot to look forward to there.
Good stuff, Dave. Appreciate it, man. See you next week.